Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Jimmy.
Yo.
How are you going?
Good.
Like a little...
This is normal.
This is normal. Just trying a few things out,
just
seeing what works.
A few positions.
See what works. It's not going to make any sense to anyone listening, so it's only people who are watching. What song have we got today?
I don't know. You're singing it, mate. Let's go.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, I sing to the kids, have I told you lately that I love you? And I sing it like that because I sing it like I said. Lola goes, is that actually a song? She said to me yesterday. I went, yeah. So I played a Van Morrison version of it, and she went, oh, that's really bad. She said, your version's better. And then I showed her Rod Stewart. She goes, oh, no. She said, your version's better.
It was originally an Elvis song, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Have I too?
No. It was Van Morrison, I'm sure.
Oh,
that sang,
right.
Yeah.
Did you know I used to play jockey back fights with his brother?
Oh, my God. Are you name dropping again?
No, I did.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
I did.
It's so exciting.
Yeah, I did. Van Morrison's fucking
anyway,
huge.
But it's just funny how she's like, is that an actual song? I'm like, yeah. Lexi and I will sing it occasionally. Have I told you lately that I love you?
How are you going living with me at the moment?
How's it going? It's...
You moved in... There you go.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot for me as well.
It is not. You love me being
well,
there.
You know, I can't walk around in my jocks very often. The girls were like, Dad, put some clothes on. You're walking around in your jocks.
I'm like,
fucking seen me in my jocks my whole fucking life. 25 years.
We're not 25 years yet, mate.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm going to last another five.
Quarter of a century. Yeah.
What are we talking about today?
I have no fucking idea. We're talking about fear and control.
Oh, yeah, because we talked a little bit about that on one of the...
Fear and control.
We talked a bit about that on one of the stories on Instagram, and people were like, a lot of people were asking about what's it, like, how they related fear and control and the difference between control and power and stuff like that. And I think it's a good topic to talk about. So do you want to start?
Yeah, I think I'd like to probably start backwards. Maybe start from the
that's
word
not new.
Powerful, right? So I think...
That was funny, by the way, but no one laughed. It's okay.
Yeah, it's not much of an audience here. I think powerful people, the thing I want people to understand about what power is, power and control are mutually exclusive. They're two completely different things. Powerful people have a sense of knowing. They have a sense of understanding of who they are and what they bring to the table of life. If the table of life is a negotiation and it's a business deal, which it kind of is, powerful people have an understanding of who they are, what they bring to the table. They have an understanding of their value. They have an understanding of what they want in return for that. And it's funny that you should talk about this because I was dealing with an employee today of one of my other companies, and this guy was what was happening was he had clients coming in and he wasn't wanting to upset them. So what he would do is he was saying to me, I can't do this work on the client's product, and I have to charge less for it, because even though, you know, the cost to fix the product is more than the cost of the product itself. And he said, all I'm going to do is if I don't charge less for it, like if it takes me 3 hours, I'm only charging for 1 hour. If I don't charge less for it, then they're going to never come back again. They're going to feel ripped off and da 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 da. And I said, but your power lies in your intention of what you're saying there. I understand that you're trying to help the client, right? And you want to do the right thing, yeah. But do you see that you're not helping the client? You're not doing the right thing because you're not being transparent with them. They know there's only so many times they can do that and get away with bringing the product in and you charging them and undercharging them. And eventually what they're going to they will subconsciously know that they are taking from you and they're stealing from you when they do that because they know that you've spent 3 hours on it. They know how much time and energy and work went into it. But they also know that you don't have the self-worth to be able to charge accordingly for the time and energy that you're putting into something. So I said, you're better off to just be transparent right from the beginning. Stand in your power. You know, say, hey, Mrs. Jones, you know what? I can fix this for you. It's going to take me 3 hours. That's going to be a total charge of $360, or 2 hours. That's going to be a total charge of $360. Or we can, you know, which is more than the product's worth itself. It's only worth $100. Or what we could do is we could go over here and look at a new, more advanced product. And that way you're going to get more life out of it. You're going to feel safer on it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it took him a bit to get it. But in the end, he realized that You know, when we're powerful, we're transparent, we understand who we are, we stand in our self-worth, we understand what we bring to the table in terms of service, and we get met with the same thing. You know, we get met with appreciation as opposed to not.
So being powerful is an understanding and a knowing of who you are.
Yeah.
Right? And so, and also, I say often, responsibility is the greatest form of empowerment because you're not looking out there for anything. You understand that everything resides within yourself, right? So powerful is a sense of knowing. It's a sense of true alignment with who you are. And the difference between power and control is that control is based on fear, right? So when you're controlling instead of powerful, you're trying to go fix out here, and what he was trying to do in this case, he was just trying to control the situation because he was afraid of the pushback. When you're powerful, you're not afraid of the pushback because you're very clear about the outcome either way, right?
Well, you're afraid of the he's afraid of the condemnation, and he gets the condemnation anyway.
Yeah,
you know, the condemnation turns up in me.
Yeah,
the condemnation turns up in ways that he doesn't want. So all it was trying to do was get him to step up into who he is.
Yeah.
And like I said to him, you're extraordinary at what you do, mate. You're very, very good at what you do. That's why we took you on, because you're good at it.
Yeah.
And but you have to understand, I'm not here to declare your worth. You're here to declare your worth. And when you declare your worth, you know, clearly with the client, they'll feel more appreciative. And if they're not meant to come back, they're not meant to come back.
Yeah.
If they're meant, you know, if you know they're the sort of client that's going to say, fuck you, then they're going to say, fuck you at some stage.
Yeah.
So you're best to just get them to say, fuck you up front now and move on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So then that control, and the reason that people control is because they're afraid.
Yeah.
And the reason that they're afraid is because they're not clear, right? Because when you're 100% clear, you're 100% powerful.
Yeah.
Clarity leads to power. So when you're 100% clear, you're 100% powerful because you know the measure of who you are. You understand what you bring to the table. You understand the measure of yourself. You understand what you're bringing to the table. And once you're clear like that, you can be powerful. So when you see somebody that's in control and they're trying to control the situation outside of themselves, firstly, it's based on fear. And that's based on the fact that they are not clear with who they are. Right? So another thing I've been saying recently, and I think this is also important, is we control what we don't trust. So if you're not trusting of
your partner,
partner, you try to control your partner.
Where are you going? Who are you with? Who did you ring? Who's going out tonight? Who's going to be there when you get there? What pub are you going to? When you go to work, is there any, you know, why aren't you home on time? Why aren't you back from the gym on time?
Exactly. So that's control of your partner. You can do that with your kids, right? So if you don't trust your kids or you don't trust certain situations, you'll be controlling of the children, right? You'll be controlling at work if you're not trusting and you don't have systems in place to trust the staff or to trust the processes or the systems. So we control what we don't trust. And the reason that we're not trusting it is because we're not clear. We haven't either given clear instructions. We're not clear on the outcome. We're not clear on the message. We're not clear on what's supposed to be done. We're not clear in our communication in some way. So 100% clear, it gives you that power. So we've got to filter down. That power is that ultimate place. That power, people don't like say power is that, but power when we're talking about it is that empowerment.
Yeah.
It's having that true understanding of who you are, right? So that empowerment is the ultimate place. If you're not there, the step back from that is being controlling, which is based on the fear, based on not being clear, and based on you not trusting. So that gives, like anybody who's done any work with us and has done any understanding of how our system, like how the processes work, it gives you a really good place. If you want to be empowered in a particular area, it gives you a really good place to start to look. Where are you afraid? Where are you not trusting? Where are you not clear? Because those three things, if you can sort that out, it's going to take you towards a place of empowerment.
Yeah, and just to clarify, fear is a future perception of a loss without a gain. And when a person is trying to control a partner, for example, or an employee, they're afraid of something that is going to happen. And what happens is that that happens anyway.
It ends up happening.
It ends up happening
level,
anyway.
Yeah.
But they perceive that if that happens, that it's only going to give them minus and not plus. You know, it's only going to give them a negative and not a positive. It's only going to be of disservice and not of service. So it's very wise that whatever you're afraid of, to ask yourself the bigger questions, i.e., if this happens, what is it going to teach me, empower me, enable me? and grab hold of that now and start living those qualities and those attributes out now, and you won't be afraid anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's also one of the things we also say to people is fear is a future emotion appearing real, and it's a future emotion appearing relative to your life right now. Mm-hmm. And it's an emotion, which is just energy in motion, that you see as only negative and not positive, mm-hmm. only minus and not plus, only bad and not good. So if you ask yourself, okay, if this happens, what is it going to give me? How is it going to teach me? How is it going to empower me? How is it going to enable me? Then you won't be afraid anymore. Mm-hmm. But we also have to understand that having fear in your life, you know, some of the most extraordinary things were built on fear.
It's not about taking any of those things away. Like, it's not about, like, everything has its place. Everyone's going to have moments of being afraid and not being clear and not being trusting or whatever. It's about saying, you know, if this is a place you want to get to over here that includes you being, like, certain in yourself and you being powerful and you having an impact in a greater way,
right,
then as a result of that, you need to look at the places that you're afraid, the place you're not clear, the places you're not trusting, mm-hmm. right? But that doesn't mean there's times where fear is necessary, or there's times where fear is important. Like, if you're in a dangerous situation, yeah. it's good to be afraid of that. You know, it's good to be, if you're standing on the cliff edge of a cliff, it's mm-hmm. good to be afraid, because then you don't jump over the cliff, yeah. right? Yeah. So there's times where fear is necessary, but the problem is that we live in that place.
Yeah.
We're not accessing it in its times of need. Mm-hmm. We're accessing it all of the time. Mm-hmm. And we're afraid of things that there's no need to be afraid of.
Well,
there's stories
well,
that we've
yeah.
made up in our head about things having more pluses than minuses yeah. or minuses than pluses.
Well, 95% of the things that you're afraid of are never going to happen.
Never
going to
happen, yeah.
95% of the things that you're afraid of are yeah. never going to happen. And as I was saying a minute ago, when we're in India and we're standing up on those big forts and we're overlooking these yeah. huge kingdoms, you know, and we see these walls built, you know, that were...
They created them out of fear,
out
right?
Of fear, yeah,
yeah, to keep people out.
But we're still doing that today.
Yeah.
You know, you look at you know, the race for space. That's all created out of fear.
Yeah.
That's created out of a fear that, you know, we know that there's no permanent habitats. We know we want to be able to get off the planet and get to different parts of the parts of the universe. And that's, you know, if you look at the first voyage to the moon, it was fear that the Russians were going to get there first. It's exactly the same thing. Some of the most extraordinary things. So having a healthy amount of fear in your life and knowing what to do with it is a wise move.
Well, having an understanding that some of it isn't, well, that 99% of it isn't going to happen.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
like you're going to need some of it to move forward, but at the end of the day, most of that is not necessary.
Yeah.
I liken it to, you know, the movie Inside Out. I love that movie, right? Mm. And there's all of the different people controlling the panel, and the fear is the one controlling the panel just before she goes to school, and he's
yeah.
preparing for all these eventualities.
yeah.
And
was
one of them
the
is some
tubby guy?
No, he was there. It was the tall, skinny one.
Oh, yeah.
Was
yeah,
the
yeah.
fear one, right? And he was preparing for some, I don't know, for an earthquake or something
right.
at the first day. Like, he's got a stack of things.
yeah.
It's exactly what our mind makes up, right? All yeah. these stories, and then
yeah.
nothing
ever
like that ever happens,
yeah.
or something completely different happens.
Who was the little short guy with the mustache that would get
that's
really
angry.
Red?
That was angry.
Yeah.
Meh,
meh.
Yeah, I love him.
He was fucking great.
I think the outcome is to be empowered,
yeah.
but the way to access that is to understand that control doesn't get you there.
Yeah.
Powerful is way more impactful
yeah.
than control.
Yeah, and I also think that when you're looking at things that you're afraid of, it's really, really wise to get some perspective on things.
Mm.
You know, stop and get perspective on things. If you're afraid of not having any money, stop and ask yourself, okay, if I was to sell everything, if I went through every single item in my life now and I was to sell it all off, how much money would I have? And when you do that, it gives you perspective on things. A healthy level of perspective is also, I think, really fucking important.
Yeah.
You know, get perspective on things. How much
yeah.
of this is real? Yeah, I think that's wise.
Can we finish on a funny little story?
Mm.
So Lola woke me up this morning at 5 a.m. because she had a nightmare.
Mm.
And she's like, I had a nightmare and somebody's head, I don't know, all these, she was famous and
that's right.
all these famous people came and somebody's famous head got knocked off because
No. He said, and this person ended up in my living room in a guillotine. And all the people were, and he was really famous, and all the people were walking past. So
and
because they were walking past, he kept moving his head left to right, left to right. And because he kept doing that, eventually his head fell off.
And so she's in the middle of the night, she's like, is that, well, can that happen, Millie? And I went, no, darling, it's okay. It's not going to happen. It was just a dream. And then in the morning she wakes up like an hour later.
Oh, wasn't it a guillotine? What are they called, those things that they put you in a stump?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's relevant to the story. What's relevant to the story is in the morning.
A guillotine, your head can get chopped off.
In the morning when she woke up, she's like, I judge myself sometimes in the morning for the being afraid at night time. She goes, because it was totally unrealistic. I said, I know, but at night time you don't know that because you're just half asleep. Yeah. But the way she's like, I judge myself for being afraid. I said, oh, no need to judge yourself, babe.
I love asking them what they dreamt about. I love saying to them, tell me what you dreamt about.
Yeah.
I had a dream last night about Lola. It's funny. At the same time,
she was having the nightmare.
I had this dream and it was just about when she was a little girl and she had this little bomber jacket, this green bomber jacket and a little
I remember
really scared
it.
And a pair of tights to keep her legs warm. And she had a big bum of nappy, you know.
Yeah.
And this tight hair, it was just all curls. And the dream was just me going up and grabbing her and just giving her a big cuddle. That's what the whole dream was about. But I just had that little picture in my mind of when she was so tiny, you know.
Yeah, so little. She's just so beautiful. Cute. Alrighty.
Yo. Even if you live the most extraordinary life, there is always more to learn. This is why tens of thousands of people are using MJB Seminars techniques to hack their consciousness and bridge the gap from where they are to where they actually want to be.
MJB Seminars use cutting-edge transformational processes that are science-based and backed to help people break through subconscious barriers and limiting beliefs in order to reset, reboot, and live inspired. If you'd like to know more today, Google search MJB Seminars Bridge the Gap. Click on the first link and watch the video.
Now, for simply watching the video, you will also receive a complimentary coaching session with one of our master coaches valued at over $600 to help you get traction in your life today. Remember, live life inspired.